Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We want to get to education, all things education, and talk about what's going on as the school year winds down with our friend Beth Ann Rossica, PhD, Dr. Beth Ann Rossica. There's so much happening. I know that yesterday I was reporting the fact that Centennial School District, and this is Bucks County, there was all this hoopla over the controversial Abe Lukaba. By the way, he was voted in by that board, and it's a win-win for them, in my opinion. But want to get into, back to the basics with Beth Ann. That's my title of this segment, Back to the Basics with Beth Ann. Hey, you, how are you?
I'm great, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're trying to lift the spirit because there's so much negative news right now. So we're trying to, be a little upbeat today. Is there any good news in education as the kids wind down the school year?
Well, I think probably I have a senior who's graduating, so I can certainly say that I think the kids are as ready to be done as the teachers as well. So I think everybody's ready to wind down the school year. But to your point about Centennial School District, I think this is great news. Dr. Lukaba, in my opinion, is a phenomenal superintendent. I think he did a great job at Central Bucks School District. I had the opportunity to interview him a couple of years ago when he was still at Central Bucks and look at sort of his plan for the district. And he created this really comprehensive, not just him, but with a team. He led the process called Portrait of a Graduate. So it was really looking at what do we want kids to look like when they graduate high school, from academics to social responsibility, to work skills, to work ethic. It was really, I thought, a very well done work product and really a mission statement for what they were trying to do in terms of producing high quality high school graduates. So I think this is a tremendous win for that district, because I think that he's going to really add a very, critical role to what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I agree. And when that whole thing happened, it was during a midterm election. There was a lot of politics involved with the board, and progressives took over after Republican or conservative controlled. And I think that his name, he became like the poster child for the board, and for it was a really unfortunate and contentious battle. And I do feel badly for him, because to your point, I just thought he was so eloquent in things that he fought for, which was to get the politics out of the classroom. And I know I want to get into, your latest piece in Broad and Liberty, which is CHOP or politics. But I guess this leads into it, Beth Ann Rossica, and that is, how do we get the politics out, the indoctrination stuff out, and just focus on what we need? Because look at all the scores that have gone down, and focus just on the basics of getting kids to love learning again without all the grown-up noise, imposing.
Well, yeah, I think, Dawn, in Pennsylvania, certainly the single biggest way to change what's happening in a school district is by changing the school board. Because as you can see, the school board that was focused at Central Bucks on academic outcomes and getting politics out of the classroom hired Lukaba and empowered him to make good decisions and eliminate the distractions and the noise that were going on. But then sadly, the community voted in hardcore progressives that basically pushed Lukaba out. And they said, that's not what we want here. We want to embrace progressive politics. We want all of the DEI and all of the transgender flags and all of that stuff. That's what they wanted. And that's what they voted for. So the only way, in my opinion, that we change this trajectory is at the local level, because school districts that have more conservative boards that make good policy decisions don't have the same kinds of things going on. When I look at school districts in other parts of the state outside of southeastern Pennsylvania, they are not dealing with these kinds of issues. They push back. They say, no, we're not doing this. And, even if you look back to what happened during the school closures and the masking. There were school districts that said, yeah, we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just, the school board said, no, we're going to do what's right for kids. We're not forcing masking on anybody. We're not going to keep the schools closed. We're not doing hybrid. We're not doing deep cleaning days on Wednesday. And those districts are doing significantly better than what districts in southeastern Pennsylvania are, because they followed what, you know, Levine and what Tom Wolf at the time told them to do. So if people really underestimate how important these school board races are and making sure that we elect good quality people that are going to put our kids first and get the politics and the distractions out of the classroom.
Yeah, and because we want to move on, you can check out broadandliberty.com. Beth Ann did a great piece on election law. Our school board elections are flawed and antiquated. Great piece. But I want to move on to your latest piece, and that is CHOP or politics, meaning CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia Hospital's loyalty to Dr. Levine and the WPATH TOPS medical caution on child transitions. I want to get to this because out of the headlines, really, you don't hear much about formerly Dr. Richard Levine, who transitioned to Dr. Rachel Levine, of course, became our health czar here in Pennsylvania during that time. We'll never forget, for those of us who lived through the pandemic and COVID and then went on to work for the Biden administration, became an admiral. But can you take us through the U.S. Department of HHS and what you're seeing here?
Yes, thanks, Dawn. I'm happy to walk through this because you're right. Nobody's really talking about this. And what I'm looking at is that there have now been two comprehensive reports. One was done last year in England, the CAS review. I wrote several articles about that. And in a nutshell, they found that this gender-affirming care, basically, you know, sex transitions, surgeries, puberty blockers, hormones, for children, there's no evidence that these are effective, nor that they reduce suicidality among these very, very troubled young people. And as a result of the CAS review last year, most of the European countries have either eliminated completely or significantly limited children's access to these types of interventions because there's simply no evidence to support that they are helpful, and there is evidence to support that they are harmful. So that's what's happening in England. So then this year, just earlier this month, the Department of Health and Human Services, as a result of one of the very early executive orders that President Trump signed, they conducted also a comprehensive review of all of the literature, of all of the research on gender-affirming care, and they came to the same conclusion that these interventions do not work and they're actually harmful. But what the HHS report looked at was, in addition to the lack of evidence, they asked the question, you know, so why is this happening? Why is this so widespread in the United States? And they did a deep dive on the political motivations and the political maneuvering behind how this has become so out of control in the United States. And Pennsylvania is front and center. We've had two major hospitals in the state discontinue these services for minors, UPMC out in Western PA and Penn State Health in the center of the state. They have stopped gender-affirming care for minors this year. Now, sadly, they did not do it for the right reasons. They didn't do it because of ethical concerns, but they did do it as a result of the threat of losing federal and state funds. So I'll take it. It's I'd rather them be on the morally correct and ethically correct side, but whatever it takes to get the job done, I'm happy that those agencies have stopped providing those services. But here in Philadelphia, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia just continues to double down on providing these services for children. They don't return requests for comment. I continue to reach out to them to ask them, you know, why are you continuing these services? Are you considering not continuing these services based on all of the research that's out? And they don't answer me. So they don't want to talk to me. They don't want to provide any information. But what I found particularly disturbing is that, and this is a little bit in the weeds, so I'll try to stay at the 10,000 foot view, but for people that don't know, there's this WPATH, and this is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. This is a group of not just doctors, but doctors, advocates, lawyers. It's a very strange mishmash of people that have come together, and they've issued these standards of care for transgender people and health. And what's odd is that they're the only organization that has standards of care for transgender people. So, for example, the American Board of Medical Subspecialties, they have a whole like listing of certificates that you can get. So if you want to specialize, if you're a cardiologist and you want to specialize in pediatric cardiology, you not only have to get certified in cardiology, but then there's a subspecialty in pediatric cardiology. So it's a very, very thorough, well-researched, evidence-based process. This WPATH, this WPATH, is there's nothing evidence-based about what they are doing. And they include for voting members people who aren't doctors, people who are just advocates for the transgender community. They have absolutely no idea what they are doing from a medical standpoint. In the United States, there is no such thing as gender medicine. There's no subspecialty for gender medicine or for pediatric gender medicine, but yet these WPATH standards of care are used by medical doctors, mental health practitioners, insurance companies, and lawyers. This is what they base all of their decisions on. And this is very, very troubling to me because we are destroying children. We are mutilating physically healthy young people based on garbage science. And there's no other way to describe it other than that. So what I found out in reading the HHS report, and this has come out previously, but it wasn't laid out as clearly as it was in this report. So in 2022, WPATH, first time ever, mentioned adolescents. So they have a whole adolescent chapter on standards of care. Mm-hmm. And initially, there were going to be age minimums for certain types of things. So 14 years old for cross-sex hormones. Now, you can argue that that's still ridiculously too young. But the point is that they did have some minimums. Well, Rachel Levine, as the Assistant Secretary of Health for the country, basically pushed back. Their words in the report was, WPATH faced significant pressure from Admiral Rachel Levine, whose office communicated concern that listing specific minor ages would trigger restrictive legislative actions. So she was pressuring them, and ultimately those requirements, those recommendations were removed. And she was meddling, and I really and truly don't understand, because I mentioned this in the article that, as you said, that Levine is now a transgender woman who transitioned in her 40s after fathering two children. So if she had transitioned when she was an adolescent, she likely would not have been able to father the children she has. And so I don't understand why she cannot clearly see that this is so harmful for children.
Yeah, and I remember that interview, and I forget when this was, Beth Ann Rossica, when Dr. Levine was asked about that and said something to the effect of that had Dr. Levine back in the day as Dr. Richard Levine, having gone to Harvard, married, and like you said, would never have been able to have had his children back, you know what I mean, as identifying as the dad and the husband, this and that. And it did strike me even back then, you know what I mean, that this person was acknowledging, had I had these feelings when I was like 14, 15, 16, then even puberty blockers, some say, are not reversible and can cause, basically make you so that you can never.
Sterilization.
Yeah, thank you. I was struggling for the word.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Well, right. And so that's, it's very hard for me to grasp and understand Levine's motivations. And when you look back in Pennsylvania, and I talk about this in the article, Levine, and at the, you know, when Levine was the Secretary of Health for Pennsylvania, working with Tom Wolf, she was, you know, very well connected with CHOP and with the founders of the Gender and Sexuality Clinic at CHOP. I have a couple of X or Twitter posts, you know, with pictures of her with them and one of the co-founders, you know, talking about Levine as their hero, as somebody who's a wonderful advocate to make sure that young people have coverage for all of these medications. And what I really think has happened, Dawn, is that we have put virtue signaling on, you know, and political correctness on steroids. So here you have a transgender woman who, you know, transitioned, who is really the poster child for transgender people and access to these types of services. And I think that, you know, whether it was Tom Wolf, whether it was the Biden administration, whether it's CHOP, all these people have put Levine on a pedestal that this person knows better than anybody because he is now a she and she understands all of the issues around what's going on for transgender people. So how could we ever doubt or even question whether she was right or wrong? And so I think that it's very, very disturbing that, in my opinion, that what CHOP is doing is based on politics, it's based on virtue signaling, and it is absolutely ethically and morally wrong.
And what's curious to me about all of this is Dr. Paul Offit, who you remember, we remember during the pandemic, had, of course, he's a vaccine inventor and, you know, he's nationally known, but we know him locally with CHOP and author and all of that. And at the time, I remember and I applauded him, Dr. Offit, for stating that the beds were full at CHOP, not because of COVID cases, but because of children's mental health cases. And I applauded him for that. And so I don't know the basis of this except to say that CHOP has said, and even when you have done investigative work and as well, Meg Brock in Bucks County has, you both have filed all of these Freedom of Information requests and so on. They have said in the past that there were very few of these invasive surgeries. The general speech that I hear is that they're giving mental health counseling, but we don't know all of the numbers, but for the grace of the Freedom of Information requests that they've answered, you know, over the years and over the pandemic.
Right. And I will tell you, Dawn, based on the research that I have done, there is far less mental health counseling going on and far more prescription of medications. Certainly the very, very invasive surgeries, you know, removing healthy breasts from young women. Thankfully, those are in the minority. They are happening, but they are not happening at high numbers, thankfully. But we are seeing very, very high numbers of children being prescribed puberty blockers and hormones through Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And, you know, one of the things that HHS talked about in the report was that WPATH recommended that doctors use the diagnosis of endocrine disorder as opposed to gender dysphoria to make it easier to get these prescriptions prescribed. So in Pennsylvania, I had done a large right to know request asking for prescriptions as a result of gender dysphoria diagnoses. We have no way of knowing how many children have been prescribed incorrectly or has been diagnosed incorrectly with an endocrine disorder so that they could get these medications. So the numbers are vastly larger than what we know. And this doesn't even include private insurance. So this was based on Medicaid payments. So it is happening. It's happening in large numbers. I have talked to parents who have, you know, reached out to CHOP to do a consultation through their gender and sexuality clinic. And it's basically you can get prescribed these medications with a 30-minute intake process. In addition, Planned Parenthood of Pennsylvania is one of the largest prescribers of these meds. And children, if you're over the age of 14, your parents don't even have to consent to you getting these puberty blockers. It's disgraceful. It's so bizarre that, you know, Planned Parenthood is now involved in this whole situation, but now young people are going to Planned Parenthood to get these types of prescriptions.
Yeah, I would say you do a deep dive into this at broadenliberty.com, but, you know, the age minimums that they talk about, it is shocking. Like you said, 14 years old for cross-sex hormones, which means, you know, think about being 14, you're still forming, and what that does when you have hormones for
exactly.
a kid who's going through puberty, basically, 15 years old for a mastectomy. These are serious surgeries that take many hours and cutting off their body parts, and then between 16 and 18, depending on what it is, cutting off or adding body parts. These are major
right.
surgeries for kids. I just,
right.
You know, why not?
It is really shocking, and it
yes.
is really disgraceful. And I really fault these doctors who are pushing this. You know, so many parents are confused and upset, and they're trying to support their kids in the right way. And when they go to the doctor and you go to the counselor and they say, well, you have to affirm, because if not, they're going to kill themselves.
Right.
And they're being held hostage. And, you know, I do want to make this other point about CHOP, because people think I'm, you know, very, very critical of CHOP, which I am very critical of their, you know, gender and sexuality clinic. But, you know, they do also do lots of great work
oh, yeah.
in other areas. I mean, they're curing childhood cancer. They provide a lot of amazing services for children and families, you know, across the region. I just think that they are in the wrong in this area of their gender and sexuality clinic. And it should be all talk therapy. It should all just be counseling, at least until these kids are 18 and can start to have a better understanding of what the consequences are. There's too many kids, now adults, coming forward now who are saying, I had no idea what I was consenting to, and I should have never made this decision. And we can't allow this. We can't allow our society to, I mean, we say that children can't, people can't drink alcohol in our state until they're 21
yeah.
years old. So they're not, their brains aren't formulated, their cognition isn't well enough developed to drink alcohol until 21. But we think that they can make a decision to remove their healthy breasts at age 12 or 14.
My God.
It's insanity. Insanity.
It is. Beth Ann Rossica, broadenliberty.com. As always, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Dawn. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.